thank you, Father. Glory be to your name. Thank you for how you have led us until now. Thank you for bringing us to this place. Thank you for this feast of fat things. Thank you for the nourishment of our soul. Thank you for the equipping since yesterday. Thank you for every verses you've used to serve us until now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you will do again. May your name highly be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we have a seat? Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. Hallelujah. It is good to be here. Amen. Thank God for the gift of men. Hallelujah. You know, whenever God wants to communicate his will, when he's propagating his word, when he's communicating his word, God uses the agency, the instrumentality of men. Am I correct? No, Satan also depends on the same. So God used the agency of men to communicate his word. And Satan also used the agency of men to also communicate his word. But the thing about God is that he's no respecter of persons. Why, when God is looking for who to use to communicate his word, he's not particular about the status of the individual. He can use anyone. But when Satan is looking for who to use, he mostly looks for people of influence, affluence, and eloquence. I don't know whether you get that. Praise God. With God, he uses anyone, whether rich or poor, whether educated or illiterate. Praise God. Whether male or female, whether popular or not known, it has nothing to do with God. But when Satan is looking for who to use to propagate his own gospel, it depends mostly on people of influence, affluence, and eloquence. Are we against people being influential? No. Are we against people of affluence? No. Do we have problem with eloquence? No. But we are simply saying that these are markers. Amen. Satan depends heavily on such people. And one of the ways that God has helped me over the years to secure myself is to be careful with that which is influential, to be careful with affluence and eloquence. I am very careful. And if you can do the same, it will also help you. Amen. I trust that God will help me, because since yesterday, you know, you'll be hearing the same thing from me. Maybe one or two additions. And you know, in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1, can we hear Philippians 3:1? But Paul said to the church at Philippi, he said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you, it is safe." Hallelujah. What is he writing? He said to write the same things. Meaning that what I am writing is what we have written before. What we are saying is what we have said before. In 2 Peter, you find the same thing. In 2 Peter chapter 1, chapter number 3, you hear the Apostle Peter saying the same thing. That what we are saying to you is what we've said before. It is to steer you up toward, to bring you to remembrance. Say, we are even doing this, especially in chapter 1. Say, so that even after we are gone, when we are long dead, you can't forget these things. Consistent what? Teaching. Praise God. So if peradventure you are hearing similar things again within the minute I have, praise God, It is safe for you and it is not tedious for us. Amen. Pastor began to tell us yesterday that the last days commenced from the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true. You've seen it in the scriptures. So the last days, according to the scripture, actually began from the time when the Lord first came to earth bodily to dwell among us. That marked the beginning of the last days. We saw the scripture in the Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 2. We saw 1 Peter chapter 1 yesterday from verse number 18. Read through 21, showing us that indeed, the first coming of our Lord was at the last days. Praise God. It is called the last days because it is the period of the final dispensation of this world. That was why it is called the last day. It is the period of the final dispensation of this world. It is the period under which the affairs of this world will be wound up. Amen. So the affairs of this world will be wound up in this time that we are in. That was why it was called the last day. Amen. That time was also the time the apostles lived in. Amen. As you saw in 1 John chapter number 2 verse 18. 1 John 2:18. The apostle John said, it is the last time. He said, it is the last hour. See, as you have heard, he called it the last hour. Meaning that the time that they also lived in was that last day. In Jude 1, 17 to 19, you'll find the same thing there. It was the last time. It was the last hour. It was the last days that the apostles also lived in. Hallelujah. Now, when the Spirit spoke in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Amen. That verse number 1. And also in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And also in 2 Peter chapter 3. All these scriptures we started reading since yesterday. I'm sure you are not tired of reading them. Praise God. But when the Spirit spoke in that 1 Timothy 4 1. Amen. That in latter times. Amen. Was this prophetical? Was this a prophecy? Was this again referring to the future? Now, if we said that Christ came at when? The last days. If we said the period that the apostles also lived in was the last day. So how come in this place again they are speaking again of latter days? Are we following? Are you sure? Hope I'm not confusing you. We say Christ came when? The beginning of the last days was when Christ came. The commencement of it. Abi? It was the time that the apostles also lived in. The last day. Now, if the period that they lived in was the last day, how come again here and also in that 2 Timothy 3, they are again saying that the Spirit is saying in the latter days. Are they speaking of another last days other than the one that they lived in? No, it is still the same period. But what is going on there? Permit me to tell you. The Spirit was speaking of the future of the last days within the last day. Are we together? Amen. The Spirit was doing what? Speaking of the future of these last days. He was speaking of the time closer to the end of the world than when Christ first came. He was speaking of the time closer to the end of the world than the time when these apostles were moved by the Spirit to speak. Are we following? Amen. Therefore, the last days here, the last days in 2 Timothy 3. The last days in 2 Peter 3. Praise God. Is simply the latter days of these last days. It appears like a tautology. But it is not. Amen. It is the closest periods. Or the periods or durations of these last days to the winding up of the affairs of the world. It is the future of these last days. Therefore, it is within or during the last days that the Spirit spoke expressly of the last days. Amen. The time when the Spirit spoke of the perils of the perilous times was during the last days. So within the last days, we are speaking of the last day. So it is more like in the morning of the last day, we are speaking of the night of the last day. Are you getting it now? So the time when Christ came, sir, was the morning of the last days. The time when the apostles lived in, you can say it's towards the afternoon of the last days. Now from that, they now spoke of when? The evening time, the night. So what we are reading here is telling us of the evening, the night time of the last days. Are we in agreement? Do not forget what we've been taught until now. If it is not consistent with the truth, just tell me, Pastor, Edakwada. Don't be afraid. You know, one of my brothers, some years ago, they were in a meeting. Then in the denomination where I belong to, I wasn't around. And later when we saw, he told me that they invited one guest speaker. And he said why the preacher was preaching. Said he was telling somebody that was there that, we thank God, but Raimi did not come. So this place would have scattered. But the man was actually speaking nonsense. And I said, but you are there. So, meaning watchdog, Gabby. I mean, like that man, say, but you knew he was dishing out nonsense. And you were telling people that, thank God, Brahim is not here. Because indeed, I have zero tolerance for this high-sounding nonsense. Yeah, in Galatians chapter 2, where Paul said when some men came to upset the church in Galatia, he said we did not give them a space at all. Say, and why did we do that? It is said, it is so that the gospel can what? Can continue with you. Amen. Say, we didn't give space. So, you don't give space to heretical preachers. Amen. So, I don't have time for that. So, if at any time what I'm saying is not consistent with the truth, draw me back. So, it was in the morning of the last day that the Spirit spoke of how the night of the last days would be. It was at the beginning of the last days that the Spirit spoke of the end of the last days. It was early in the last days that the Spirit spoke of the later times of the last day. So within the last days of this world, God spoke of the future of these last days. Amen. So what did God said concerning this time? This evening time is what we are seeing here. One of the translations I love consulting is Translation for Translators, T4T. Let me read that translation from here of 1 Timothy. Amen. Chapter number 4. It said, God's Spirit has clearly told us that what? In latter times, what will happen? He said some people will stop believing the teaching that all of us believe. Do you want me to read it again? You love it too. He said God's Spirit has clearly told us that in latter times, some people will stop believing the teaching that how many of us? All of us believe. Said, instead, they will listen to evil spirits who deceive people. They will also believe the false doctrines or teachings that they receive from these evil spirits. Anointing has what? Error has anointing. Error has what? Anointing. You know, in the scripture, Pastor just told us, the anointing is actually the Holy Spirit. So when you read the Old Testament and all of that, in fact, the anointing oil that you saw in the Old Testament, if you read your scripture well, you realize that it is only the high priest, praise God, not even his children, that is to be anointed with the anointing oil. And God even told them that you don't make anything like this thing. And some few utensils also, amen, among the things to be used in the tabernacle of old, that was to be anointed with the anointing oil. And that was pointing at who? Christ and us. So in the New Testament, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. So 1 John 2:20 tells you that what? You have what? An anointing. Praise God. Give me 1 John 2:20. He said, but you have what? An anointing. Who is he talking to here? Pastors? Say, but you have an anointing from who? The only one. And you know all things. You go to verse 27. He tells you again. He said, the unction that you have received, which is the same thing, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. So you've received the anointing. That is the Holy Spirit. You have him already. So this anointing teaches. So like I said, error has anointing also. And Satan is the father of that. So he also anoints. And he anoints how also? To teach. Praise God. So the scripture is saying here that they will begin to receive from who? Evil spirit. So, and it doesn't matter who is preaching these things. Once it is a deviation from what? Orthodoxy. Orthodoxy is right opinions. Amen. And right opinions according to the scripture. What we all believe. Once it is a deviation from it. Once it is not according to it. The scripture says, somebody is teaching that. And who is that? It's an evil spirit. And whoever, remember Peter in Matthew chapter number 16, after the Lord had asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And some said, you are Elias. Some say, you are this and you are that. Peter. And Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter, Abi, said, thou art Christ, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but the Spirit of my Father. Abi, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail, and all that. As soon as the Lord used Peter, as soon as the Spirit used him to teach that which was correct, immediately someone got hold of him also. And who was that? This seducing spirit. And Jesus discerned that. And Jesus did not cover Peter. Immediately Jesus said, he rebuked Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. So when we hear things that are not consistent with what the scripture has taught, excuse me, an evil spirit has taught it. So if an evil spirit, Peter sorrow, he can speak through anyone. And if I may quickly tell you, you know, you see the statue that they put in front of the law court. How do you see that statue? Thank you, sir. What that statue is what? Why do you think they blinded? What are they telling you? Amen. That even if it's my father, that they are bringing before me as the what? As the judge. I am blinded to his status. I judge you according to what? The constitution. If they brought my father before me as a criminal, the truth is status blind. I judge you. That's what they are telling you. But it's sad. The Nigerian church that me am familiar with, praise God, you guys are not like that. Sincerely. You are blinded by status. You know, I did a quick example for one of my brother of blessed memory now, Brother Joseph. He was at my place that day. And I showed him some videos on social media of people. I've copied them and I played it to him. People that were teaching and practicing nonsense. And he was quick and said, "This is rubbish. Oh God, people have corrupted the church and the gospel and all of that." Showed him one, I showed him two. He condemned all. Why did he know I have another one? Of one of the Babas that we call fathers of faith. And I played that one also and I said, "Brother Joseph, echekele, you know." He explained that one away. He saw Shege in my house that day. He said, "So if I die today, Brother Joseph, say even you, that means my wife and children are not safe." He said, "Then why are we close?" Say even you. Say, "Look at now. You quickly judge those ones. But because this one, some of you use age, and all of that popularity, and you pretended as if they did not say it. But it is you who does that. God does not do that. He doesn't. And thank God, God is not you and me. But be careful so you will not perish with them if they do not repent." So they will teach those things. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 3:1, I still read from T for T. It said, "You need to realize that during the last days, before Christ returns, evil people will make it difficult for believers to behave as they should." Evil people will make it difficult for believers to behave as they should. So, brethren, the last days that we are speaking of is foretold in the scripture as the times of great apostasy. Amen. Those two passages before us are simply telling you that that latter times is the time of what? Great apostasy. And what is apostasy? It is a departure from what? From the truth. That's what God is telling us. Has there been apostasy beginning from the last days? Yes. I mean, from the commencement of the last day, have we been seeing people departing? I mean, which pastor just showed us now, Arminius. I mean, who have made a shipwreck? We've seen. But they are telling us that when the evening of these last days comes, he said the apostasy will be massive. It will escalate. It will be more than what you have seen or been familiar with. So what you are to be conscious of is that what? Error will increase in these latter days. You thought you have had false teachings. No, the longer you are here, the more terrible stuff you are going to hear. Awon Yoruba ni wa pe laye oju e oni ri bi. Won ni kan lo ma fowo mu. I should interpret. I will. Amen. The Yorubas will say, "You will live long, and your eyes will not see evil." He said, "Choose. You will choose one of the two. Because if you are going to live long, you will actually see evil. You will see more." So, how many of you want to live long? It's part of your prayer point. Let me see your hand up now. And then pretend. Some of you still pray that prayer this morning. "I will not die. I will live long. I mean, to see my children's children." How many of you have prayed that prayer? Wow. So thank God. But you see, the longer you stay here, the more terrible things you are going to see. That's what the scripture is telling us. That these perilous times. Amen. It's going to be a time of great apostasy. So before our Lord will return, apostasy must precede. It is what must go forth. The scripture said that must need happen. Give me 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse number 1. 2 Thessalonians 2 from verse 1. Any of the translation is okay. Praise God. If we can display, can we read? Okay. Say, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be so shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Say no. Say, let no one deceive you by any means. Say, for that day will not come unless what? Unless the falling away comes first. So, falling away, apostasy on a larger scale will precede the coming of the Lord. Are you seeing something now? So as you are expecting, as we are hastening the coming of the Lord, bear in mind also that what? Many will be falling away. Many will be departing from the faith. Amen. So, it's the time of great apostasy. Now, two kinds of apostasy are evident in that 1 Timothy 4, 1. And 2 Timothy 3, two kinds of apostasy. You see, the apostasy that 1 Timothy 4:1 addressed. Can you give us 1 Timothy 4:1 again? So we look it together. Amen. Now the Spirit speak expressly that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. Praise God. Giving what? Heed to deceiving spirits and demons. You see, this apostasy is what? Says speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with hot iron. The apostasy described here is doctrinal apostasy. Amen. Doctrinal apostasy. Give me now 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second, please. I want us to read together. Please. Say, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. 2. Verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient. When you read this, what apostasy is this talking about? It is moral apostasy. So two kinds of apostasy. Doctrinal and moral apostasy. Are you getting it? Great apostasy, but two sorts. Doctrinal apostasy and what? Moral apostasy. But you see, doctrine will affect morals. Hallelujah. When we teach wrong, we live wrong. When we teach right, there will be right living. That is why you cannot separate the two. Praise God. One will lead to the other. Are we still together? So doctrinal and moral apostasy. So our Lord himself began to speak of this apostasy in Matthew 24. He began to speak of it himself. When you read from verse number 1 to 13. Amen. When you go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Also, you find it there. Let me read that from here. From the NIV, 2 Timothy 4. But Paul began to say from verse number 1. He said, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Say, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Why? Say, for. Verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine,
For the time will come when men will not put up, when they will not be able to tolerate. You can see, the people that you have tolerance for, they will not be able to tolerate sound doctrine. Amen. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Praise God. Say, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. There are many churches today that the preachers, they are preachers of myths. And some people love it so. Tell you story of how they drank tea with God and all of that. Tell you stories of how Jeremiah, Elijah and all of that appear to them and telling them this or that. I don't know what you gain from all that. They tell you stories. Things that does not build up. And you come and you are hearing the stories. But you love it so because you actually gathered them. Said they will gather them. Amen. They themselves will sponsor the ministers. They will hire them. And there are many preachers for sale now. They will be sold to the highest bidder. I call them preachers with a price tag. Yeah, they are for sale. So anyone can just buy them. Just establish your institution that you call church. And they are ready for hire. You've not seen adverts here and there of churches that are hiring pastors? You've not seen it? Pastor Etiri? I've seen that one. They are hiring. Praise God. A few years ago, one of them invited me. I was to preach in his church for 7 days. And when the invitation came, as soon as he called me, someone actually gave him my contact. And somebody that we have not met before. I don't know what they told him. I don't know. And guess what he said? He said, sir, when you come, you see, you will actually help me. When I invite pastors like that, they always help us to raise money, to raise seed. And we give them percentage. Yeah. So he told me that the more money I raise, the higher the percentage. And I asked him again. I said, who did you say gave you my contact? Said, did you actually ask about me very well? Understand? And I ended the call. I spoke with my disciple and I, like, sir, I'm attorney calling you. Can you imagine? I told one of my brothers then too. And the both of them said, have you asked God whether you should go or not? I said, go where? I said, can't you see? It's obvious now. He said, that's not what we mean now. There's an opportunity to go preach the gospel. He said, Shebi, when you don't reach, he go chase you away. Shebi, he go give you microphone. Abi, he will tell the church why he's chasing you away. I said, that's true. So I called the man back. I said, no problem. When is the meeting? So he said, how many days? He said, 7 days. Wow. Starting when? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday will be vigil. Saturday will rest. Sunday, grand finale. I said, wow. A week of emphasis. Hallelujah. And you know, until then, I've been telling some of my people that we are together. I say, if now money, I won't preach. I say, now no go meet me here. And certain of them followed me. And one of those days, as we were returning, what Anthony said, he said, sir, I said, it's not that I believe what you've been saying. I said, which one of them? He said, you have always been telling us that if it is money that you want to preach, we won't meet you here. I said, so you didn't believe? I said, now I know. So how do you know? Because, sir, the place we actually went to preach, if we raise money, then go give up. Yeah. Because they were rich. And again, the thing that God did. Yeah. They will give uncontrollably.
Because we saw God's manifestation. He exceeded our expectations. So that if I raise seed, like they used to call it, they will give. And all along, the man just, maybe he was waiting that maybe now the last day, I go do the thing. So what to? Maybe I don't come. And the people are enjoying God. So what will you tell them that happened? So on the last day, which was Sunday, we went again. And I told them, I said, it's a simple analogy I give to people. That if indeed you are not a bastard, if you are a child of God, so you know what is befitting to do. Abi, concerning the business of your father. So I said, as the Lord helps you, I said, take care of yourself. Take care of the body of Christ. Take care of faithful ministers of God. If your pastor is one, take care of him. Say, God bless you. That's why I finish. And God glorified himself. Hirelings. Hallelujah. He's been hiring some people like that. He will raise money. He will give them courts. And that's why I pity some of you. You think your pastor loves you. Some of you are under such pastors. Organizing programs. You think it's because of your... Because he loves you that he's organizing program. He's doing it because he wants to make money. Some of them also do it because they are looking for who will invite them back. Invite me, I invite you. So they are using you to build their business. Part of the things God told us will happen. Hallelujah. So God spoke of doctrine and moral apostasy. In 2 Peter chapter 2, when you read from verse number 1 to 3, the Bible says, But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Are you hearing? I'm reading NIV from here. Say, there were also false prophets among the people. Which people? He's talking about Israel, the first church in the wilderness. He said, just as there will be false teachers among you. So you cannot pray this away. God has said it, there will be false teachers. Said there will be. He said, they will how? Secretly introduce destructive heresies. You see, there is what we call subtle error. Amen. You see, there are some heresies that are obvious that anyone can easily detect. But there are what? Subtle ones. That unless you are mature, unless you have been equipped, amen, by the word of God, you can't discern it. That is above your grade. And that is why, as 1 Peter told us, 2:2, you need to grow. So as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that you may grow thereby. Because there are some errors, there are some heresies that you cannot detect unless there is spiritual maturity. And that comes by what? The knowledge of the word of God. Deep understanding of the scriptures. Do you understand what you read when you read the scripture? Hermeneutics is simply understanding what you read. Some of you read, but you don't understand what you read. You are like that Ethiopian eunuch. Philip asked him, do you understand what you read? And the man said, how? How can I? Unless some men guide me. So simply understanding what you read is hermeneutics. And homiletic is what? Is preaching what you understand. And apologetics is you defending what you preach. So it begins from where? Hermeneutics, homiletics, and apologetics. Understanding what you read. After understanding, then you go preach what you have understood. And what you have preached, you are able to defend it, apologetics, and defend it with your life. That was how the apostles defended the faith to the point of death. But it begins with you understanding the scripture. Do you understand? Some of us have been preaching for years, but we do not understand what we are preaching. I happen to be one of them. I was popular in the denomination that I was then. Popular for the ministry of breaking chairs. Yeah, this place go down scatter tete. Everybody flying up and down, jump, break chair, and all of that. It's popular for that. No table for that. That's why they were inviting me here and there. Then the owner of the work in his mercy came one day and he said, "Yemi, if you die like this, you will not see me." How we know? Lord, is it you? Yes. Say, if you die this way, you can't see me. What have I done? Say, you are not preaching me. Say, you are not seeing me clearly. What you've been saying until now is a mixture. It is not me rightly preached. So I said, Lord, help me then. So what will I give up for that? I have to give up fame, popularity. No preaching engagement anymore. I return to the closet. Yeah. I said, Lord, guide me. Teach me. Send men. Amen. Send men. And he began to send men. And as I was looking at the scripture, I said, ha. Ha. I didn't know. That's why I know indeed some are preaching these things in ignorance. One more. I'm telling you, they did not know. Why would they know when they have not been taught? Because most of the churches that many of us grew in, even the pastor don't know. The overseer don't know. I read of a founder, so-called of a church, who got born again on his own pulpit. And he was the founder of the so-called ministry. It was on his own so-called altar that he got born again. And when God began to show me his word, I said, ha, I did not know. So I started. And when I started teaching these things, guess the same people who began to persecute me. The same people who were inviting me here and there. Who will tell another that call him. You want to draw crowd? Invite him. They ask, who can we invite? I told one of my, I don't want to mention one of the person I was under then. When he was complaining, he said, you hardly stay at home. You hardly stay in your parish. And I said, sir, how did you know me? How did I came under your zone? Was it not because you too was looking for somebody? Abi? I said, you now think that because they brought me under your zone, I won't go out again. So that's how you know me too now. That's how I've been going here and there. I said, so sir, could they change? Yeah. But when I started teaching him, when I started looking at the scripture, when I've known that look at the scripture and look at it with the lens of Christ, read it in the light of the finished work of Jesus Christ. When I understood that every road in the scripture must lead to who? To Christ. And if you can't find him there, put Christ there. It must lead to him. The apostle said, him we preach. So when I understood that, and I began to trace all things to him, and we began to speak after this manner, problem broke out in the same place. It cannot contain us. So you see,
The people that will make life miserable for you in these last days are the members, so-called, of the household of faith. You are not hearing me. Or you did not agree with me. Huh? It is those who bear the name Christians. The moment that you begin to insist on the truth, they are the same people. You've been in a meeting where they tell you and say, Pastor Yemi, Eja, give Bible segbekon. Who are those saying give Bible segbekon? Pastors. So if pastors are saying Eja, give Bible segbekon, kini kawa gbe ogun? Eh? When you are with pastors, and pastors are saying, say, let's leave the scripture aside. Then if we should put scripture aside, is it Shango that we should not bring to the fore? We are having conversation discussing issues concerning the faith. And they were asking me questions. I was responding. And they got to a point, they said, they asked another and said, no, don't worry. We know you will defend it again with the scripture. And I said, with what should we? Kai. It got to that point. They asked me another one. And said, don't worry. We know again you will. So where do you want me to take you before? Where? Do you understand the scripture? Do you understand what you read? Do you know how to read the scripture? Have we been taught that? So as we've said, moral apostasy will fall in as a result of doctrinal apostasy. So beloved, it has never been easy to be a Christian since the inception of Christianity. Hallelujah. Has it been? However, in the last days, it will be increasingly difficult to be a Christian. Since the inception of Christianity, it has never been easy. Has it? But in the times foretold in 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 3, it will be increasingly difficult for you to be one. Amen. The last days are perilous times or days, as we've seen. The last days, they are a period of testing. Testing of what? Of the genuineness of the faith of those who profess Christ. These days are days when your faith, the trueness, the genuineness of your faith will be tried, will be proved by the event of this time that we are talking about. It is a time of testing. It is a time that will prove and reveal whether we are indeed disciples of Christ or not. Hallelujah. It is a time when many of those who would easily pass as disciples before those days comes, and we indeed have been believed by many to be who? To be disciples and taken seriously by many as disciples will be revealed for who they truly are. There are several people that we've believed. You believe that they are Christians. You've taken them seriously as Christians. But wait until those days come. They will be revealed for who they are. That's what those times are meant for. False believers cannot survive the perilous times. They can never. Because they do not have what it takes to survive it. Rather, it is meant to expose them. True believers will survive the perilous times because it is intended to reveal them. That times will reveal. In Daniel 11 verse 32, it is said that with flattery will he corrupt those who have violated the covenant. Say, but the people who know their God, what will happen? They will firmly resist him when those days come. But those who have already corrupted, violated the covenant. What covenant? The blood of the covenant. Who have betrayed Christ. But you do not know. It was for false reasons that they believed in him. But you took them seriously. But when those days come, it will reveal them. They will not be able to oppose. But those who know their God, the true believers, they have what it takes. They will be able to resist him. Are we still communicating? Let me quickly go to how to escape the perils of the perilous days. How to escape the perils of the perilous days. Number one. Know that the perils must surely be. We've had that in the course of this meeting. Know that the perils must surely be or must surely come. That's what the scripture said. Know this, that what? In the latter times. So you must settle it in your heart that it is inevitable. These times must come. Are we communicating? So it begins, your escaping the perils of the perilous times begin with what? Knowing that they must surely come. So in order for us not to be overtaken by the perils of those days, God foretold that those days would come. Like Pastor Simeon said yesterday, you know, when he said that, I was laughing. I said, wow, because that was the same thing that was. I would have said that today. First, if he hadn't said it yesterday, that would want to tell you paro. I wrote to back money. And there's another Yoruba adage that says, one in it only afford you. Oun lojo. Lo se nku. Tori afford you. They said because of the blind. That is why there is what? A rumbling of the rain. Abi? He is blind, Abi. And because he's blind, he cannot see the weather changing. Isn't it? But he's only blind, he's not deaf. Isn't it? So he could hear that it is rumbling. Abi? So only tori afford you. Lojo se nku. Wani tori aditi. Lojo se nshu. It is because of the deaf that the weather changes, that it is about to rain. Abi? He is only deaf, but he can see. So you are inexcusable if this day should catch you unawares, because you have been foretold that is going to happen. Are we making sense here? Making sense of the scriptures. Hallelujah. So know that the perils must come. So God foretold that those days would come. And God also foretold the characters of those days. He did not only tell us that those days would come. He also told us expressly the characters of those days. So that when you begin to see them, you know that, this is what they say will happen. I want you to buy anything. Where you back by Yairi? To buy the mechanic, I'm married. Or women, poor Juabi. They said, if a madman has killed your mother before, say, when you see a mechanic coming, you will run. Because you think, that is the brother of that guy that is coming. So God foretold the characters of those days. And God also foretold the stand we are to take in those days. Amen. So God foretold that those days would come in Mark 13, verse number 23. Can we have Mark 13, 23? It says, so be on your guard. Why? I have told you everything I heard of. Amen. John 16 from verse number 1. Please help me. All this I have told you so that, can you see? I say all this
I have told you so that you will not fall away. Verse number 2. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming. When anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to who? And the Muslims are killing us. Who are they offering service to? To who? Allahu Akbar, they beheaded you. Kafiri. Huh? Verse number 3. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. Verse number 4. I have told you this again. Emphasis. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. Just like Jacob when he was about to part. In Genesis 49, he summoned his children. Say, let me tell you what will happen to you when in the latter days. So Jesus said, I didn't tell you this also because I was with you. But I'm about to go now. So let me tell you what will happen to you. Amen. 2 Peter 3:17. 2 Peter 3:17. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been for, say to be forewarned is to be, thank you. Say, be on your guard. You have been forewarned. So that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. So God foretold that those days will come. And when he speaks, it will not fail. Hallelujah. So the reason for this prophecy, hallelujah, is to forewarn us. We serve a God who has not kept us in the dark concerning the future of the world and the church. Has he? No. He has spoken extensively in the scripture to us concerning what to expect in this world and what is coming upon his people. Did he not? It is the habit of our God to always help us to be prepared so that the events of this world will not catch us off guard. So that's why. So one of the ways to escape the perils is to know that they will come. Number 2, you need to know that the days are already upon us. Hallelujah. That's another thing you need to know. Know that what? The days are already upon us. I understood from the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, that God wants the church to know that these days are already upon us. Hence, they are to take action immediately. Don't sit as something still afar. You begin from now. Take action now. Because it is already happening. The days are already upon us. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that is how you must see it. So though these days are spoken of as being ahead of us, yet we are to prepare as if they are here already. And they are here already. Why? Because the Bible told us in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, it said the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Amen. The mystery of what? Lawlessness. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Even now, then, when the Spirit spoke to the apostles, they were saying that even now, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Just as the mystery of Christ was already at work from Genesis chapter 1. Amen. It has been there. And that was why, on the journey to Emmaus, when he opened their understanding, he showed them in the scriptures, the things concerning himself that has been about me all along. So in the same way, the mystery of lawlessness has been at work in the world. So just as there are the depths of God, there are depths of Satan too. There are depths of the evil ones. It's unfolding them too. Are we making sense here? So it's already at work. And that's, you cannot afford to be lazy and not know what the scripture says concerning the times that you are living in. Are we still here? Praise God. Number 3. Know that the perils are no respecter of any persons. Hello? You must know that what? These perils, they are not respecter of any persons. Praise God. Huh? Pastor emphasized on that. Brother Paul mentioned that before he left here. He showed us that never you think that I cannot fall into this. Don't have that self-confidence. No. So you must know that these things that we are talking about, they are not respecter of anybody. They are not. The scripture says, we've read the place in 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Say, let him that think he stands, take heed, lest he fall. So these perils, they don't respect pastor. They do not respect titles. They can come upon anybody. So you must not have the self-confidence that what? Our Ole Shubu now. We cannot fall. Amen. Don't you think so? In 1 Timothy 4:16, but Paul said to Timothy, he said, take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. What was he saying? That Timothy, all these things that we have said, even you, Abi, it is in that same chapter where the Spirit, Abi, spoke expressly that many would depart. So at the end of that chapter, Abi, Paul now said to Timothy that, Timo, take heed to yourself too. Don't just be looking at others. That one number we, awa ole shubu, we can't fall. He said, even you, take heed to yourself. Know that even me, I can be swept away in these days. Amen. Balaam was God's mouthpiece who became a soothsayer. Abi, Judas was an apostle who became an apostate. Demas was a disciple who became a deserter. He loved the present world. So know that these perils are no respecter of anyone. So take care. Take heed to yourself. Are we communicating? I have to rush. Number four, take heed to the word of God. Amen. Take heed to what? To the word of God. The next thing that Brother Paul said to Timothy in that 1 Timothy 4:16, after he said, take heed to yourself, he said, and to what? To the doctrine. Huh? Take heed to thyself and the doctrine. Take heed to the word of God. So what was he saying to Timothy? Take heed to the things that you have both seen and heard, received from us. Take heed to the doctrine. Simply saying that nothing new is going to come. Take heed to what we have already delivered. Take heed to the doctrine. Take heed to what we have taught. Take heed to what is written already and once delivered to the saint. Just as Brother Jude said in Jude 1. To the saint of all generations. Hello, brethren. There is only one doctrine. And it is the apostles' doctrine. There is how many? Just one. In Acts 2:42, the Bible showed us four things that the church must continue in till the end of the age. Acts 2:42. He told us that the church, they continue steadfastly in what? In the apostles' doctrine, number one. That is what we must all continue in. The apostles' doctrine. And they continue in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. The true and elder church must maintain those four till the end. So take it to the doctrine. Amen. The canon of the scriptures is closed already. Amen. God is not speaking anything new. And he's not speaking anything in addition to what has been spoken and written already in the scripture as doctrine. No, he is not. It was one saint of old, and Pastor Dakpo just said that, who said that that which is new in theology is false. And that which is true in theology is not new. That coat dated back to the 5th century. So anything that is new in theology is false. And that's why you must be careful of trying to sound rev. You are looking for something new to say. You will fall. Why do you want to sound as saying something that somebody have not said before? Resist that temptation. Resist it. That is the pitfall you must avoid in ministry. I want to sound different. Sorry. I want to say what somebody have not said before. You are looking at the scripture. You are looking for what somebody have not seen before. Well, eh? Otilo. Atikbielo. Emieshu. Carry you away. Be careful. Take it. Amen. Every thought seeth the Lord must agree with the scriptures. Hello? Every what? Thus saith the Lord. The moment you hear Oluwa wipe, it must agree. Kill Oluwa wi. Whatever the Lord has said must agree with the scripture. If it does not agree, it is diabolical. It is diabolical. So subject every thought seeth the Lord to the litmus test of the scripture. Are we still here? The Bible is the ultimate authority in matters of faith and practice. Huh? What is the ultimate authority? The Bible. Not my father in the Lord. Not my husband. No. Not my pastor. Not my discipler. Not your general overseer or general superintendent. No. The scripture is the ultimate authority in matters of faith and practice. And it must be read in the light of the glory of Christ, interpreted with the lens of Christ and his finished work. Amen. As I've said to you before, every road in the scripture must lead to Christ. Number 5. Test every spirit. Do what? Test. When we say test every spirit, the scripture is simply saying test every conspiration. Test every teaching. Test it. And with what do you test? Praise God. With the scripture. It was A.W. Tozer who said, he said the best way to show that a stick is crooked is to set a straight one by it. Only fool will argue afterwards. And this tree is crooked. How do you show it is crooked? Set a straight one by it. So, the scripture is that plumb line. It shows the crookedness of that utterance, of that practice. So, test every inspiration with the scripture. Test it with what Christ and the apostles taught. Just as is it consistent with the apostolic doctrine? Is it consistent with orthodoxy? Hallelujah. You need to check, like the Berean did. You've read that already. Like Jesus tested. He knew when Peter spoke by the Spirit of God. In that Matthew 16. And Jesus knew when he spoke by the spirit of the devil. Amen. And now the script Christ knew. It is not just spirit of discernment. It is the scripture. Because the scripture already. Because when did Peter said what he said that Jesus rebuked him for? It was after Jesus was talking about how he will suffer. How he will be killed. Abi, and Peter said, "Lie ye, walk you quick, cook you come, because ye, I forbid it for you. You shall not die, and all of that." How did Jesus know? So it is not just by the spirit of discernment; it is because Christ knew that the scripture it has been written that I will suffer, I will bleed, and I will die. So, God, what you are rebuking for me is you rebuking the word of God. So I know it is another spirit. So test every spirit with the scripture. That's why you must know what is written. And what is written makes you know what is not written. Show you what. Are we still together? I've told you that truth is status blind. So Christ immediately pointed out Peter's error. Even the apostles were cross-examined. So cross-examine every teaching. Don't be gullible. Beware of easy believism. Are you familiar with that word? Easy believism? You know what it means? It refers to a tendency or attitude of accepting ideas, claims, or beliefs without critically evaluating their validity, evidence, or credibility. It simply means you are gullible. So beware of easy beliefsism. Beware of it. Critically evaluate what you are accepting as the truth. Check it. Check their validity. And with what? With the scripture. That's why you must spend time with this book. The scripture will not yield its treasures to a lazy fellow. It will never. Hi. Number six. Fellowship with disciples indeed. Or the true church. Fellowship with who? Disciples indeed. Or the true church. Regularly. You must fellowship with the true church. We are simply saying, commit to a true local assembly. Acts 2:42 still covers that. They continued what? In the apostles' doctrine and what? In the fellowship. Fellowship. You must continue steadfastly in that. Hebrews 10:25 told us about not forsaking the assembling of one another. At what time did that word came to those Christians? At such a time as this. So you must commit to a true local assembly. Don't be a loafer. Don't be a truant. Don't be a freelancer. And don't get shush. You are not committed to any local assembly. Thank God for conferences like this. Make out time. Praise God. To attend such, always make out time. Amen. But listen, never replace a local church for conference attending. Are we making sense? There is no substitute for the local church. No substitute for it. Conferences come and go. Three of us, but the local church remains. Conferences are seasonal. True of us. But the local church is what? Constant. It's always there. The local church, your local assembly is God's sure provision for the nurturing, equipping, and protection of his flock. That's why Paul could summon the elders of the church of Ephesus. And he said, take heed to the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. So the local assembly is God's sure provision for your nurturing, your equipping, and for your protection. So if you don't want to be carried away in these last days, you have to be committed to one. The congregation are mostly gullible. That's why God gave them leaders. So don't think too much of yourself. So the local assembly is where God proposed for concerted discipleship, for discipline, responsibility, and accountability. We can't really discipline you when you attend conference, but the local church is meant for discipline. Even pastors are disciplined there. In 1 Timothy 6, where Paul said to Timothy, he said, the elders that sin, rebuke before all, that others may fear. So when you see where your pastor is disciplined publicly before the church, say, elders that sin. Hey, Kari. He said what? Before. He said, rebuke before all. That others may fear. It is a place where you are responsible. It is the primary home of a Christian. Number seven. It's more like the number six. Keep company with disciples indeed. Now we've talked about local church. Pastor Dakwa said the same thing. Who are your friends?
Pastor Bakari said the same. Who do you company with? Keep company with disciples indeed. He said they continue breaking bread, Abby, from house to house. I want, well, they don't break bread. Eh? Where do you go? From which house do you used to go? Do you go from Brother Akpo's house to Pastor Femi's house? From there to Brother Samuel's house? Are you keeping company with disciples indeed? Or your friends are the world borderers? So if you want to be safe from the perils of these latter days, you must keep company with disciples indeed. You see, may I tell you something? Have you read where the scripture said that while Lot was in Sodom, the Bible said his righteous soul was vexed daily with what? With the lawlessness which he sees and hears every day. That's in 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8. So you see, the way it was said of Lot, that his soul was vexed day to day with the unlawful deeds of the people of Sodom, which he sees and hears. So it will be for disciples indeed in these last days. If you are a Christian indeed, you realize that already your soul is being vexed with what you see and hear day to day. A disciple indeed knows that. Sometimes you want to block your ear. Sometimes you feel as if you could cover your eyes and just walk being blindfolded because of the things you see. That was how the soul of Saul, Lot, was being vexed day to day. And so it will be in these latter times. And because it will be like that, the only safe place for you will be where? The company of believers indeed. Your circle will be small. It will be the faithfuls. Are we communicating? Are you familiar with the word sinner climb? Eh? You are familiar with that word? So you see, for disciples indeed in these last days, their own sinner climb will be what? Will be the kingdom of God, the church, and the company of disciples indeed. That will be the, and for me, that has been the only sinner climb for a long time now. It is when I am with God's people. That's the sinner climb. With any other person, my soul is vexed with the things I hear. So that's the way it will be for you. Fellowship and company with them. And this will be your own definition and understanding of a sinner climb. It is the church of God. It is a household of faith. It is the company of disciples indeed. Hallelujah. For wherever else you go or turn, your soul is vexed by filthiness and lawlessness which you see and hear. And because of this, you are familiar with the word japa also. Hello? Are you not familiar with the word japa? Abi, some of you are planning to japa also. But you see, for a believer indeed, in these last days, your own reason for japa, amen, it is because what you see here and there is filthiness, lawlessness. So where are you dapping into? To the company of believers indeed. Amen. Because see, the place you call sinner climb, praise God, don't worry. Huh? You will soon realize that the only sinner climb is the company of believers indeed. And that's how I even know that some of us, we are worldlings. What is chasing you up and down? The things, mundane things. It is not the glory of God. It is not righteousness. It is not godliness. So you japa for carnal reasons. Ah! What we are going to eat, what we are going to drink. That's why you are going up and down. But for believers indeed, this will be it. They will only japa to where there is soberliness. They will japa to where there is righteousness. They will jackpot to where there is godliness. So a believer will do everything within his power to escape quickly. To. And resort where? Where God's people are. But Aguilo once said that he met one of the big men of God, so called. He said they boarded the same flight. And he happened to be seated with the person. And he said the thing that the person began to say to him, Baba said he got to a time, he said he did like this. He said the big man of God thought it was the air condition. And he said that, Brother Gwile, is the air condition too much? He said you can reduce it. And Brother Gwile said, I wish he knew that was the things he was saying that was guarding my. He said it was as if my heart was outside. And I'm afraid that those things will penetrate. He said that's why I did like this. And Brother Gwile said he was praying that God shorten this trip so that we can quickly come down. And he said as soon as the plane landed, Agbile said the way he ran, he said he ran quickly to his spot and he started saying, Lord, peradventure any of the things he has said has entered into my heart, purge me. That's how conscious you will become. You are jackpot from these wicked people because you are guarding your souls. My time is up. Brethren, in the last days, the world will be more worldly. Not that the world would actually become what it is not before. Rather, it means that the world will be evidently worldly. The fullness of the character of the world will be manifest. The world will be fully unmasked, unveiled. Until now, the world is gradually undressing itself. The time will come when it will be fully or finally undressed. And when that time comes, unless you have been taking heed to these things, you will be swallowed by the perils of those days. I pray we will not fall from this grace. I should leave here now. Praise the Lord. God bless you.